Lord, we are thankful that we can come to you as we are, and we are thankful for your grace that finds us in where we are and comes and restores us and transforms us. And Lord, in this moment, we just pray that through this message, find us where we are, come to our lives, bring us hope, and we are thankful, God, for your love. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We are right now in this time when we're talking about being rooted, and we can be rooted in so many things and many options, but through this time we want to also explore and remember how is it that we are rooted within the United Methodist Church. We can hear many things about our denomination, some of them positive, some negative, but one of the things is we need to remember, what is this denomination teaching us about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith? One of the things we learned last week is that when we talk about Methodism, we talk about the religion of the heart. And by that, we're very clear. Is our heart is, the foundation is where? In Christ. It's the thing of the heart in Christ that transforms us and also empowers us. One great thing that we learned through Wesley is that when we think about how we explore our faith and how we grow, he mixes those three things. Orthodoxy, orthopathy, and orthopraxis. Those are the nerd words, so my husband can understand what we're talking about, and he's catching up here. This is the words for every regular people. So what he's talking about in here is how what we believe, in this case, is our foundation in Christ, how also makes an impact in our emotions, and because of that, we act in specific ways. That's one of the foundations in our faith. We connect those three things. Today we're talking about another very important foundation. But to get there, I want to share with you something I learned with Pastor Avdon last week. He was sharing this at the ministry center. He was talking about these big trees called the sequoia trees. How many of you have ever seen one of these trees? They are amazing trees. I mean, they are humongous. They live forever to their very, very, some of them thousands of years. Just this gives you a perspective. Do you see the size of the person? You see, this is a humongous tree. But one of the characteristics of this tree is that the expectation is that if you have a tree of this size, perhaps it's going to have very strong roots or very deep roots. But the reality is not like that. Actually, the roots are not that deep, but they mainly grow through this called intertwined root system. So through that, it's almost that they are helping each other to maintain themselves tall. When I was listening to Pastor Avdon sharing that, it made me think about what's grace. Whatever we are, in the way we stand up and we keep going in life, is going to be possible depending on where our roots are, how strong our roots are. So if our roots are in a place that is healthy and safe, we will be able to grow strong. And that's what grace is about. And one of those things that as Methodists we learn well and we teach well is the meaning of what is grace. We talk about grace, first of all, and the first grace that we receive and we connect is the prevenient grace. Now, if you look in a dictionary, the word prevenient is not going to come there. And if you write it down, it will come with that red line because it's always telling you that it's misspelled. But this is a word that we use a lot within the United Methodist Church. What does it mean? It means that God is actively seeking you, is looking for you. This is a beautiful statement. Because if you can see, I love that word, actively. God is intentionally doing everything to connect with you, to show his love to all of you. This is the time in your life when you remember that this is not about what you are doing to reach to God, but to receive what God is doing for you. In Luke, we can find this beautiful scripture that says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Many of us, we have been in that part of our story. And perhaps some of us were still there. But it's beautiful to remember that it's not about me looking for God. I have heard people who said, "Lupina, I have a hard time understanding God. It's almost like I'm playing hide and seek with him and I don't find him." And sometimes we can feel like that. But the reality is very different. It's not God trying to hide from you. God is doing everything in his part to show his love to you, to the point that we can say he is the real God and the God who was intentionally coming and becoming flesh, coming and knowing that he's a pure life, coming and sharing the experiences that you share so that you can see that he's approachable to you and to me. Not just in the moment where you are safe, but in the moments when you're struggling. That was probably one of the parts of the gospel that touched my heart when I was coming to Christ, was to know that whenever I was presenting something to the Lord of conflict or a challenge or where I was going through difficult things, I was listening that God was not going to blame me or look for who's the person who's guilty about this. What we hear from God is, I get it. I totally get it because I was where you are. Whenever we are coming to God and say, this is not making sense, God, as a human, I feel limited. I don't understand how to solve this problem. What's the next aspect of this? Where am I going in my story? What we find is God telling us, I get that. And I am the light for you to get the right place. So that's what God gives us as this time of prevenient grace. He's looking and searching for all of us. It's the time when he comes and stirs up in your heart the desire to know about God. In other words, he's coming when he comes and interrupts your agenda. You had your life plan, and you said, you know, I don't need God. Actually, I'm probably angry at God. I have my life all planned. But here comes God and just starts kind of showing his love to you that you cannot give up. You go back and you say, God, I really need you. He also gives us that opportunity and power to respond. We have the capacity to recognize what is good, what is bad. And through that discernment, we're capable to say, you know, this is God talking to me, coming to make an impact in my story. Going back to the roots, I want you to think in this picture. It's like this root is trying to reach that other one to be able to get stronger. Is looking, is getting there. That's who God is for us. Is that God who, through his grace, is looking for you and trying to get to your story to make you stronger. This is prevenient grace. But then we have another grace, and that's the next level, and it's what we call the justifying grace. What is this grace? Justifying grace is God has acted in Jesus Christ. We need only to respond in faith. This is when we understand, okay, God has tried to pursue me, he's looking for me, but now all of this that I have learned about God, there is that moment or that season of life or in different ways where you have come to say, God, at this point, I don't want to hear about God as a God out there, but I want to hear about God as my God who has made an impact in my life. When you come to that conclusion, is when you come to that justifying grace, when you get that opportunity. For some people, it has been one moment very radical, and they can tell you, on November 25th of 1981, I was doing this and this happened. Some people can tell you like that. Some other ones, it has been more like different seasons, when they get closer and closer and closer to God until they realize, you know, I have seen now how I am connected with God in a different way. Doesn't matter how. But it's when you come to that place, when you say, God, you're conquering my heart. It is a time of reconciliation. The time when you say, as I shared with you before, when you tell God, I want you to be now the God of my story. I want you to be the one who leads my life to new ways. It's a time also of forgiveness or pardon. And that's beautiful from God. When we have that second opportunity and a time of restoration, that's what makes it very powerful. It's not just about coming and saying, you know, my sins are forgiven. There is more on that. Through this, there is the opportunity of restoration and of a new life through God. You see, when I'm thinking in this, is what it really makes an impact in this scripture on Ephesians 2. It says, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. This is a grace that impacts all your surrounding, impacts the way you see life because of receiving this grace. Let me give you an example. This is the house where Abel and I and our children, we live in Toledo, Ohio. It looks the same, but with snow. Today, a lot of snow, like 3 feet of snow. I don't know how many. This house, for any of you who have been a pastor, you know that as pastors, we live in something called parsonage. And that's a house that belongs to the churches. And the parsonage have a lot of adventures when you move into the house, right, Neil? And for some reason, all the houses of the Methodist pastors are the same color inside, beige, you know, like a beige color. I don't know if it's part of the discipline or something, but they look the same. But anyway, when we were in this house, we loved it. It was really charming, but it had a lot of great inside adventures inside of the house. The layout of that house was unique in many ways. It was like the kitchen, for example. Let me show you a picture of that. Here's when Pedro was a little kid. He was doing a Thanksgiving. But if you look at the house, the sink is in the back. The dishwasher is next to Pedro. The stove one, I needed to go around that table, and the stove was in front. And there was this, that was the hall where people were walking while you were cooking. So if my children wanted to go to the backyard, they needed to go by me to get there. So it was really weird. So it's a little bit dangerous sometimes when you had little kids. So it was bizarre. And then it's like it was in little blocks to the point that Elizabeth, she was learning to walk. I remember because in that stairs, that was her. And she became better climber than walker, because in that house, she didn't have space to walk. I mean, she just will walk two steps, and she will get anywhere because it was like that. And I remember she was very funny because at 7, 8 months, she was not interested in walking. She was just interested in climbing. And then she would stand up in a chair or in a table and put her hands and start just dancing. She will just go like this. And it was very funny because it's like, you just walk, you see the little thing. But walking is like, I don't care. I don't need to in this house. And in the upstairs, it was even weird because as you can see, the house is in this angle. Can you see that? You know? So, and the roof was like that inside. So if Abel was walking, Abel will be walking, and then he will be going like this, you know. For me, it was like, this is my size, you know, no problem. But honestly, in our bedroom, Abel needed to go like this for a little bit and then get out. So it was a really weird layout on that house. So what happened, and I learned with this, is that the layout of the house was shaping who we were. The way we walk, the way we behave, the way we learn, the way we were challenged. I think if we were still in that house, probably at this point, Abel, we have a back problem. And now Pedro, because he's taller than me. But this is making me think about grace. You see, we respond to the environment. And sometimes the environment that we have in our society, in our culture, is like this house. It's shaping us in ways where we do not grow in our full potential. We believe that based on what the life and the world that we have, we believe we are a person with certain limitations or certain specific characteristics. But when we understand the purpose of grace, when we accept the life that God gives to us, it's like we're moving to another house that allowed us to thrive, to grow. Now, I'm not talking about prosperity gospel and God is giving you this castle. What I'm talking about is the opportunity of growth to your full potential. In Christ, through his grace, you are not called to be a person who's barely walking or a person who senses that it's not necessary to feel challenged. It is in Christ, in his grace, that you understand that you become a person who shows what's God's image. If each of us, we are a person who carries God's image. The way we behave very different. We understand that the life we have, the way we see things, the way we interact to the world, we are not interacting as persons who are defeated or limited, but we learn to walk straight. We learn to say, you know, God, I have been a person with challenges. My story has a lot of chapters that were difficult, but through you, Lord, through you, I can walk with my head up again. Through you, I can find forgiveness. Through you, I have the opportunity of a second chance, and I can see my life thriving in new ways. It is with you that I see my life, not as a person who's just defeated and has no way to go to a better place, but I see my life as a person who has conquered sin and is able to say, yes, I have really difficult places in my life parts in my life. But what I have that is stronger is the love of Christ and the value that I have through him and the eternal life that he gives me till the end of my life. So when we come there, we walk in different ways. We are made alive. We are made alive. And then the last grace that we see is what is the sanctifying grace. And that's the grace that I hope that we all here are walking right now. Now, if you are right now in the prevenient, I pray that God will interrupt you loudly today. You know, and I pray for those family members that we have that need to know about that grace. I pray that God will interrupt them loudly. I have shared with you that perhaps I share this prayer with many moms. We pray that God will be the one that lead the lives of our children. Amen. And we pray and say, God, I ask you that even before knowing their career and their degree and success on that, for me, the most successful thing is that they follow you, isn't it? And I confess that I am very stubborn about that prayer with God. And I keep saying the same. And I go back and I say, God, like right now, Pedro, you are in this retreat. I pray God speaks to you as you and him, not the son of a pastor. I pray that you find him there. And I pray for my daughter. And every time I'm praying, I'm like, God, are you listening to me? Do you get it? I'm going to say that in Spanish now, God. You know, in English and every language I can. And I hear God in his love telling me back, Lupina, I want you to remember, I love your children more than you do. Even though you feel your love is so big, my love for them is bigger and unlimited. And I want you to feel safe with that. So that's the prevenient grace. That then we pray they will walk to that justifying grace. But then we all walk to this sanctifying grace. What the sanctifying grace is doing, it is a step where we say we grow and mature in our ability, in my life, in my spirit. It is the place where we are starting to say, I am investing my life in my spiritual growth with Jesus. First Thessalonians is very good about explaining that in this passage. It says on 5:23, may God himself, the God of what? Peace. Remember the word in Hebrew? The God of shalom. The God of the one who's able to bring that balance. Sanctify you, how? Through and through. That's a very good word, through and through. When you need to wash your car, through and through, what it means? Totally clean, right? You're washing your house through and through. When you clean your house, through and through, what it means? Opening all those closets, trying to clean up. Especially if we're looking at that TV program of the Japanese girl. Have you seen it? You know, it's horrible because you feel hysteric after that, right? You know, and she talks to the clothes. That one just like freaks me out a little bit. Like, okay, thank you, blouse, for, no, I'm like, throw it, you know. But I get it. But I like the through and through that she does. I like the cleaning process that she's bringing in that place. So it's through and through. When you are going to need to, you have a dog and you need to wash that dog or shower that dog, through and through is like the paws, everything. Totally clean. Totally clean. So here is what the prayer is. That God of peace, the only God capable to bring you to that balance, through that balance, he's going to sanctify you through and through in every aspect. It says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body, everything of you, be kept how? Blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all this process of sanctification has a purpose. We are going to be blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Now, what does blameless mean? No mistakes? No. It means that the intention of your heart is in the same intention of God's heart. Is that you are in that same angle, the same place where God's heart is. So you have that good intention. Because, be honest, everybody's going to be doing mistakes. We all do mistakes. How many mistakes have you done from the morning till now? 1, 2, 3, 25. Do I ask your spouse? You know, like a bunch, you know. So we all do mistakes. But it's very different when you say, my intention was in the right place. I wasn't trying to be mean. I wasn't trying to do this wrong. It's just that I am a human. I'm limited. But the intention of your heart is in the right place. That's sanctification. That's a different thing. And what we learn with this is that this is the time when we deepen the knowledge of God. We get him to be a friend. We don't have a God that is an automatic entity far away in the stars. We have a God that connects with us. How do you connect with people? What do? You talk to them, right? Now, we are United Methodists. What else do with people? We eat. We eat a lot. It's part of our life, you know? And that's where you start connecting. And when you connect with a person really well, you start learning their behavior. Your best friend, just the way you talk, your best friend knows how you feel, right? Your best friend is the one who has seen you when you are happy, when you are sad, when you are angry, when you are even probably saying things we can say at church, and when they look at you all pretty and nice, or when you are in a looking that, okay, God, where is the beginning and the end of this person? Even with that, your best friend knows you that deep, and you don't care. You actually appreciate that, right? This is the same way we're with God. There is going to be a point when God knows you already, but that you can learn from God and say, I know who I am in God. I know what he's going to tell me. I know how he's going to guide me. I know how am I going to be able to praise him. That's when it comes to that knowledge. Then it also strengthens our capacity to love. It's a fruit of what we do. And this is also something important. It's when it aligns my thoughts and my motives to be with God's motives. That's what I was telling you. It's not about not making mistakes. It's about learning to grow, to be able to see where God is in your story. It's like the same thing with this sequoia tree. We see the tree. The tree is a result of this growth process that is going with the roots. It's the same with you and me. The sanctification is what people can see, what we show in our society, what we do as a manifestation of that relationship with God. This is a very special week because we remember Martin Luther King, and he said these very wise words. Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics in physics to serve. What do we need? You only need a heart full of grace. A heart full of grace. A soul generated by love. That grace, that love, comes from one place, and that is Christ. So, while we have been hanging together as congregation for several years, in the midst of that, some of you are newer to this place. Perhaps this is the first time you come. Some of you probably have been here and in the back. So I know your stories, but not totally. But God does know your story. So I don't know where you are in relationship with this grace. If this is the day where your prevenient grace is hitting hard, you are here as a probably last resource. Maybe because somebody brought you, because your parents have brought you, because your spouse brought you. But you're like, you know, I have tried this God thing and I'm not even sure if I want to try again. But here I am sitting in this sermon about grace. So I pray that today God will interrupt you and he will come and show you that he's loving you and he has been seeking for you for the longest time, even before you were born. And maybe you have understand that. But today is when you need to say, you know, God, I have heard about that grace. I have felt your grace with me. But I always have felt that I don't deserve to respond to your grace for different reasons. I invite you today to respond to God, because to be honest, no one responds to God's grace because they are perfect. No one responds to grace because now I have figured out everything. We respond to grace because we're broken. We respond to grace because we don't find a way. And we understand that God has told us that he's the light, that he's the way, that he's the truth. And that's why we respond to grace. So I pray that today you stop thinking like that and you accept that gift that God has provided for you. But maybe Maybe you say, you know, I have been in this train of grace for the longest time, for a long time, since I was a very young person. But today I encourage you to keep being strong in that grace, because that is exactly what we need today. We need people who are walking in that sanctifying grace so they can shout to the world that there is hope, that there are promises from God, that we don't need to rely in the economy. We don't need to rely on how are going on with things, with politics. It's not about that. We rely that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And in that time, we grow in knowing Him better. We grow in becoming His image. So where you are in God's grace, may we all commit our lives to grow even more in knowing that God who loves us deeply. Amen.